Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with His fadl, His blessings, His grace, with His special mercy upon His servants. Doesn't matter how they are, what type of people they are, whether they're sinful, whether they're disobedient, whether they don't obey Allah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if they don't listen to Allah, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always upon them sends down His ni'mas, His blessings. There's no moment, no time such, no time passes in which a person doesn't have Allah's ni'mas, in which a person doesn't have Allah's rahmah. And the favors and blessings of Allah. There are so many blessings Allah tahsabu fiha, Allah Ta'ala says, that if you wanted to count Allah's blessings, you could not do so. And definitely if we look at this, analyze this, so many favors of Allah, so many blessings of Allah. We're eating food, drinking water. There are systems Allah Ta'ala has sent, given to us. We have a digestive system, a whole system within our body. Organs, there's an eye, for example, what the eye does, the functions, and all the veins and very, very thin arteries, and they're all doing the work. We just pick up a morsel of food, and the enjoyment is just for a few seconds in our mouth, and it doesn't go beyond that, does it? The enjoyment. But Allah Ta'ala has given taste on the tongue. On the tongue, if there was no taste, you wouldn't know, are you eating soil or are you eating food? So many senses Allah Ta'ala has given to us. So much sense Allah has given to the tongue. You see, sometimes people are ill, they say, oh, the taste is finished. Can't taste the food, I don't know what I'm eating. So this is Allah Ta'ala, these are Allah Ta'ala's blessings on His servants, on human beings. And these ni'mas, if we think about them, ponder over them, then automatically the human being will become the grateful servant of Allah. But it's sad to say, it's unfortunate that the ni'mas, and aside from the ni'mas, if we get a little bit of difficulty, we think more on that. We put more weight on that. We forget all the blessings of Allah. And we'll just emphasize on the difficulty, the burden, oh, big issues come, oh, there's a big problem now. Or there's a big worry. And all the other ni'mas and blessings Allah gives has given to us, nobody mentions that. Nobody cares about that. No, I've just got this issue, this problem. No, why has this happened to me? It's not just one. What else is there around us? Think about this. Think about that, and about those Allah Ta'ala has mentioned. If you don't have something, then even in that, there's Allah's hikmah, His wisdom, and His decision, some principle or rule that Allah Ta'ala has instilled in that decision. So in this way, the blessings of the world and individual always benefiting, but there's something bigger than that, greater ni'mah than, there's a greater ni'mah than these. These are blessings of the world. You've got a car, a house, food, health, etc. This will stay restricted to the world. They are zawal. They will end. They are finite. You are happy about a son, and that son will grow up, grow up, grow up, grow up slowly, slowly, and he'll become old, and he'll also go into the grave. Nothing will remain here. No item will remain. Nothing is baqi. Nothing is forever. Nothing is everlasting in this world. So in the same way, the ni'mas of the world Allah has given, Allah's fadl, His grace, and He also gives permanent, forever treasures and ni'mas and blessings, the blessings of the akhirah, thereafter. And that is amazing if somebody attains a treasure, a blessing of the hereafter. There's no limit how much a person should be grateful to the blessings of the akhirah. Allah Ta'ala gives the blessing of the akhirah. And those ni'mas, the ni'mas of this world, how can they compete and compare to the ni'mas of the akhirah, the hereafter? In other words, for example, if we just look at one ni'mah of the hereafter, that if we say subhanallah, if we are just getting a small so-called thing, that even if you're saying subhanallah, say subhanallah everybody, subhanallah, tell me. Now the whole world and what it contains, put it to one side, the whole world and what it contains, whatever you think is the biggest asset, kingdoms, lands, your desires, put them all to one side. But such a time will come that you'll say, take all of this from me, Allah, but just let me say subhanallah once. Let me say subhanallah. Why? Because you will see the reality, the value. It's not that we're not being told the value of these things, but we will see the reality one day. What's the reason? Our yaqeen is very low. We see the money and the business or a shop, an asset you acquire according to your desire. You see something, you get something. But bigger than that, greater than that, we should have yaqeen on those things that Allah Ta'ala is mentioning to us. Yeah, we should have more than yaqeen on this. Yes? For example, many things that you see with your eyes, you're deceived. Something like this magic. Look, for example, Musa alayhi salam, and there were magicians around him, and they threw their sticks down, they threw their tricks down. What did they become? They become like snakes, serpents, isn't it? What was that? It was just a vision, illusion. Nothing else. Allah's Nabi, he threw the reality down, he threw his staff down, his stick down, and because that was related to the hereafter, and that consumed everything around it. So the magicians understood, ooh, and they had wisdom and understanding. They said, oh, really? This is the real thing that he's consumed and overtaken, the magical things. So this is all a deception in front of us. And what's more wisdom than that? That Allah Ta'ala, what Allah is explaining to us as the genuine, real matter that we should be worried about. We should understand if the an amal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen, if we need to leave the dunya for that, then leave it. For example, when it's salah time, then close your shops. Close your stores. Subhanallah. Say subhanallah. So Allah Ta'ala is making you open the eyes inside, that foolish people, it's the same value now as before. And what you will see in the hereafter, even today, those amal, they have great value attached to them. Great value. And it's not that you won't get it. You'll get the enjoyment for that here as well. That when you sacrifice the pleasures of the world and you run, hayyal as-salah, hayyal al-falah, and you finish your beautiful sleep and leave your bed and your mattress. Why? Why is Fajr Salah in the morning? Tell me. Why did Allah put Fajr Salah in the morning? It's from the hikmas of Allah. We cannot arrive there. The morning prayer. Allah could say, wake up, have breakfast, drink tea, chai shai. When you feel like it, come to the masjid or pray at home if you feel like it. Allah could have said that. He owns the world. But He wanted us to prostrate, say subhanallah. He wanted us to prostrate. And what was the conditions in the prostration? That Allah could have said, oh, you can just do 5 sajdas in the day and do them when you feel like, and just make sure you complete the 5 when you feel like. But that if Allah gave the open playing field, everyone would have done that. Because Allah Ta'ala needs the prostration. But Allah says, I don't need nothing from you. Say subhanallah. Allah says, this is also my hikmah in this. Yes, that you can do what you want during the day to your desire. Allah says, I want to see who really loves me. Yes, I want to see who really loves me. If you say, oh, I really like you and love you, but muhabbat, the love, at that time you can see the passion. When you give a sacrifice for somebody, and such a sacrifice that at that time, the most beloved thing to you at that time, you are giving that. For us, for example, if someone says, oh, I like you, oh, I love you, you'll give a gift. Oh, if I get something cheap, something, if you have a watch, or if I can get a second-hand watch, or some older brand or model, and who are you going to give it to? The person who you claim that you love that person a lot. You give them something cheap, second-hand perfume, second-hand gift, or something cheap. So you make that person your beloved, and you think you're the ashik of that person. Look at your hal of what you are giving that person. What you give to that person. So this is our standard with regards to love in the world, in the dunya. So my brothers, Allah Ta'ala, this is how He tests us, that you want to be my ashik and my beloved, and you cannot be my ashik beloved until you follow certain principles. You pray salah alam, you ashik, and when you present your own things, Allah says, no, I will tell you the times of salah, then I will see how much you love me. Say subhanallah. Yes, so look at the times. Allah Ta'ala has a lot. One is the prime time, dhuhr time, business running, customers coming, buying, selling, meat is selling, tuck, the money's being counted. Allah says, Hayya ala salah. Subhanallah. Allah says, come my servant, leave everything, close your business, your box of money, stop counting the money in the dunya. Allah says, all the customers, forget them at that time. Amana wa sadaqana, and come to my call, to my announcement. Then you realize the ishq and the love. And a person like me, broken down, I remember an event with me, that at that time, I was in the Arndale Center. I had this humble servant had a shop, and there was a lot of rush at that time. Yeah, Christmas time, I think. And there were youngsters working with me, and they're probably listening to me, what I'm saying. And a person like me, broken down, weak, and I'm saying this, mashallah, you are pious people. What was the reason? The reason was that Allah Ta'ala says that I, because I had the attachment with the friend of Allah, and mashallah, his beloved statement, he said, Faruqi sahab, never leave salah, doesn't matter what happens, he said. This was the order he gave in the next hukam. He said that don't leave earning with your hands. In other words, you have to work and you shouldn't leave the salah either. These were two. And this was the peer, my sheikh. This is the real murshid. who creates the true students, and he takes you to the right path. I could have said, no, it's okay, I can pray salah after, I have to run my shop, I will give sadaqah, etc. No excuses. He said, you have to work, this is Azim Sunnah, you have to bring up your children, and don't sign on the dotted line social security and sit down at home. Don't make excuses, I'm doing the work of the deen, and money will come from here, money can come from there. He said, this is not the deen, this is not our deen, this is not our Islam. Any country Allah Ta'ala sends you to, the law of the Sharia principle will stay the same. Say Subhanallah. Wherever is your shop, in Mecca, Medina, Pakistan, here, Gujarat, Baruch, Surat, wherever it is your business, Manchester, Bolton, big shop, big business, small business, in a bazaar, marketplace, inside, outside, office, doesn't matter. Same law. Customers are coming or not. If the call for the salah has come, Hayala Salah hasn't even arrived to you, and you should have departed already. Then in the Akhirah, Allah will say, where are my beloveds? And then we will get up as the beloveds. Oh, no, it's okay, I can leave Salah, pray later. Doesn't matter, customers have come. This is for us as well. Mawlana Sahib said, I can leave Salah, I can run my business, doesn't matter. You have to do, you have to fight yourself. What jihad is this that you are saying you are doing? If you're not struggling to pray Salah. Do you understand what I'm saying? You understanding? So Allah has made the times of Salah. Allah says, I want to see you, my beloved servants, who come at those times. Allah says, okay, fine. So the time of Fajr is the hardest, say Subhanallah. Very sweet in the bed. And if you're in the hot country, Pakistan or India, the countries, all night long, mosquitoes bite. In the morning, the cool wind. And you feel like you see Jannah, cool breeze, and the mosquitoes have flown away all night long. You are struggling, not sleeping, and the azan comes at that time. There's a cooler breeze. Hayyala Salah comes at that time. The morning time, Fajr. Such a beautiful, sweet sleep at that time. All night long, the mosquitoes were biting you and you were restless and tossing and turning. Have you ever experienced that? Very difficult. I'm telling you about the village locality in the wilderness, and then the azan comes at that time. He says, oh, leave it, it's too hard to get up at that time and leave your sleep. Saying, this is the reality. Here it's cold, snowing, sometimes the water's cold, and here the announcement comes, Salah, come, let's go to pray Salah. Difficult. Get up, leave the mattress, leave the bed. And leave that, even today a person doesn't get up. Even on the holidays he doesn't get up. The holidays says, no, today is the resting. And on the work days, oh, today I have to go to work. Today. So what about the Qiyamah day? Will that be your Salah day then? The Qiyamah day? Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. What day will come then? If your working days you don't pray, and the work days off you can't pray, so what day will come? So understand the Fajr time that Allah Ta'ala has allotted, Allah kept it at that time because the nafs is big at that time. Very difficult. And the time goes late, sometimes 2 a.m, sometimes 1:30, maybe later. Wherever. Where do you pray? I pray at home. I go to, then I sleep because I've got to go work in the morning. No way at all. You cannot pray at home, straight go to the masjid. If you don't go to the masjid, then in Bolton, Allah Ta'ala would not have created and constructed so many masjids. For which reason did Allah make all these masjids? Did the committee make the masjid? No, Allah made these masjids. Allah, in every corner you will see a masjid. Could anybody imagine here that where it's hard to do one sajda, on every street there's a masjid being constructed, Alhamdulillah. Yes, but Allah Ta'ala prepares for us and gives us the means so that you can't make excuses. Allah, there were no masjids, I couldn't go to any masjid. No excuses. Young men, they're sleeping. Children sleeping. Wife snoring. Nobody cares. Morning, they get up. Oh, there's no barakah at home, no blessings. We keep arguing, fighting, quarreling. My children, they're off track. And we've got problems at home and families. Why? That, what about Salah? You pray Salah? No, I pray Salah when I get time. Sometimes my eyes open. No, I've got too many problems. Why are you telling me about Salah? When you remind me about Salah, then you bring the problems back. Problems back. Oh, servant of Allah, have yakin in Allah that everything comes from who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends all instances, money, health, courage, determination, connection with Allah, such that we don't even obey such an order. Allah says, 5 times Salah, come to my home. We don't even obey that. No, we follow our own whims and desires. So Allah has given the times. Dhuhr time, you leave the dunya to go to Zuhr Salah. In the morning, you leave your sleep and go to the house of Allah. Allahu Akbar. Maghrib time, you have to leave your food and go to the masjid. Subhanallah. Isha time, leave the gossip. Because Isha time is kind of gabshap. Oh, relax, tea's in front of you. You've finished eating. Chit-chat, gossip, friends. Shaitan stands there. Oh, it's okay, there's a match coming on. Oh, you put the set. Allah says, Hayya ala Salah, leave the dunya. So such times Allah Ta'ala has set, ordained when a person's nafs is asleep to test that person. And Allah's rewards are also great than permanent rewards.
So these were the ni'mas of the dunya. And what are the ni'mas of the akhirah? The blessings that you leave everything, alhamdulillah, with the fadl of Allah, with Allah's blessings, you've left everything. And for the sake of Allah, you are stepping forward. If this is not an ashik, then what else is that person? Tell me, that what is the definition of ashik? You are leaving something. You give me something, so this is a dhikr majlis, alhamdulillah, gathering of Allah's dhikr. And Allah's gathering, the majlis is a big gathering. A person cannot imagine how great is this gathering of dhikr. So an individual, yes, look at the ghafileen, we've left our home, someone's come from Blackburn, someone's come from another town, vicinity. Who's given us this determination? Interest, we don't look at petrol, the cost, we don't look at home, wife, children, who's at home, rather from Asr, from Maghrib. And okay, we're going today, are you going today, brother? We say this, well, are you going to come today to dhikr, to the majlis? Yes, yes, inshallah, today I'll go. Okay, yes, we'll meet there. Are you coming as well, friend? Are you coming, brother? When these discussions start, then Allah's angels immediately start to arrive that this person has arrived into paradise. Subhanallah. So you're starting already in advance, hours before. What is this push, this pull? Allah Ta'ala has made their hearts in love. The majlis is coming. This is permanent reward. Is there a greater reward than this? Tell me. Such a reward all life long, for example, you live. What will you get? That Allah's angels, they surround the gathering. Subhanallah. Allah's angels, they surround the gathering. Allah's rahmah, it surrounds and covers that gathering. Allah's mercy. Allah's angels from all four sides cover and surround that individual. And Allah's rahmah, mercy, it will cover that person. It will cover that person, envelop that person. Then from the top, from the arsh, sakina, content, satisfaction and peace descends into the hearts. Allah says, Allah bitatmain qulub bidhikri. Allah says, Allah bitatmain tatmain qulub. Allah says, the hearts find content through the dhikr of Allah. And it doesn't end there. Allah says, further, the angel, that Allah Ta'ala special select jama'ah of angels. Imagine Allah select jama'ah of angels. Amongst that jama'ah, Allah Ta'ala, that regards to those people who are sitting doing dhikr, Allah mentions and praises those people in that select group of angels. Tell me, can there be a greater reward than this? So for such an individual after death, what will he attain, that person who did dhikr in the majlis? This is called permanent reward. Morning time. Person gets up, Allah Ta'ala gets that person up, he gets up, passionate, he prays Fajr, he says, no, that's not enough. After Fajr, Allah says, don't come back, this is my time to remember Allah. Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala, what shall I do, read Quran, shall I do this or that? Allah says, no, this time purely just recite my name after Fajr. Close other things. The rest of the day you can recite Quran and juz and paras. This time Allah says, that's another time for Quran. At this time after Fajr, Allah's most beloved action is after Salah, pray 2 rakah Salah. After that, just stay there in your place, don't leave that masjid, say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Stay there, don't leave and don't do anything else. Just recite my name, keep on remembering my name, keep on remembering my name. And close your eyes and the heart say from your tongue, just remember my name, Allah Ta'ala says. Allah says, I like this, and don't do it on your own, do it in a gathering. Subhanallah. So Allah Ta'ala is explaining this. Tell me, for this, that one person who does this, Allah, how long? That 1 hour this drama, this scene, 1 hour this action plays out. That hour of scene, how many hurdles will come to you? Why? Because a person, for example, is doing a good deed, an action. Hurdles will come. Barry, some people are such that in their life they don't even get this opportunity to sit in the morning and do dhikr after Salah. They run off, they pray Salah. But they have never tasted this enjoyment and they've gone into the grave, they've passed away. And they are such that they have never missed this gathering and this action ever in their life. Look at the difference between the two. So who's the ashik then? Tell me, the lover of Allah, the beloved of Allah. Because he's left the dhikr of Allah for his love of dunya, he's prayed Salah and run away. I'm free now. Free? Do you pray Salah to become free after that, to run away? Allah says, no. Sit down. Alhamdulillah. Just 1 hour, what difference does it make? 30 minutes, I'll open the shop a bit later. Allah's given us a shop, a business. He's given me my business. What's the problem? What's the difference? Who's going to grab me? Who's going to ask me questions? All my life long, never did I open my shop on time at the same time. Whenever I'd go, there was a notice on there that your shop is closed, that you were going to close your shop down. You don't open your shop on time, your premises then shop. And that I put that notice in my pocket. They kept on giving the notice. I kept putting it in my pocket. Who could stop that and close the shop? It was with ease. I do my mamulat, my practice, and I'll open the shop later. And if the risk will come, it will come. So I say, Subhanallah. So it's nothing to be worried about or distressed about. Allah Ta'ala will give rizq, the wealth. So Allah Ta'ala sat down, and the jamaat sat immediately. So the jamaat sat down doing dhikr, everything you've left of the dunya, actions. Yes, you've selected that schedule and action that Allah Ta'ala likes at the time of Fajr. You could have done some other action, some other good deed. Allah says, no, all of the good deeds close at the Fajr time is just Fajr. And dhikr time is just dhikr that you do, nothing else, no second action. That's it. So mashallah, sit down. And mashallah, the ocean of blessings is running. You sit down, you do dhikr. Allah Ta'ala, all rahmas, mercy, which Allah Ta'ala has mentioned. There are many hadith, I cannot mention now, morning time out of Fajr doing dhikr. Many hadith. So you do dhikr, you're free from dhikr, doesn't even take an hour. And you haven't even left from the door of the gathering. Immediately the envelope opens up, Allah gives you the angels, of they record the reward. Let's just keep on writing reward for what? That Allah Ta'ala is happy with you. That you've given a sacrifice of your nafs. You are the beloved servants of Allah. And see, what do you get? Open the envelope. What's the reward in that envelope? So quickly will you open the envelope. Just like for example, someone says to you, the lottery, you won the lottery, here's the money. You quickly open the envelope. You'll run home. Are you mad? Look how many notes and money will come out of the envelope. How quick you will be rushing to open the envelope. You won't even get to your car. You'll rip the envelope up. Let me see what notes are there. What check is there in there? So this is a reward. Allah gives you the reward envelope. As soon as you finish that gathering, in that illuminated envelope, one hajj, one umrah. Three times Rasulullah said this in the hadith. Not once, three times he repeated. And the beloved servant said, this doesn't mean the three hajj and three umrahs that means. If he said it thrice. I say this. Maybe that if Rasulullah said it once, it happens, then he said it again. Third time he said, then it's happened again. So my love says this, three umrahs, three hajj are recorded. Another point comes here, subhanAllah. One hajj, one umrah, Allah said, my Nabi announced. So Allah's Nabi said it once. And three times Rasulullah said out of love to his ummah. So when he said three times du'as, then Allah says, I accepted three times the du'a of my Nabi. Allah's Nabi, if does du'a, will it not be accepted? This is a point. If you like it, do you like it? Then how foolish and stupid is that human being who in the morning he spends the time such that three hajj, three umrah, he does not attain. Oh, ho, ho. And there's an ocean, a river flowing next to his home. No, I don't want to do this. Just for the sake of it. Is this not sadness? Extreme sadness. So these are permanent rewards. Permanent rewards. The akhirah rewards, hereafter rewards, ni'mas, blessings. Now the real topic, I come to that which was in my mind I wanted to discuss with you. These just words before and just came out automatically. The point I wanted to share with you, that I come to now. So the blessings of the world and the blessings of the hereafter, look at the difference. So the real subject's coming now, my subject today. Point, pay attention to this. That the point is that the blessings of the world and the blessings of the akhirah, look at the difference. The difference is you get a car, ni'm of the world. And you'll drive around, sway around, drive it, petrol, is it right? Oh, new car, brand new, mashallah, subhanAllah, very nice car. And you'll look around it, walk around it. And then, for example, if some bird poos on it, the birds put some dirt on it, and you keep on polishing it and cleaning it. I want to keep my car polished. You get a house. Yes, doesn't matter. And then, for example, while you're walking through the house, you start cleaning it, cleaning the garden, just to make your heart feel good. Yeah, why? Because the ni'mah Allah has given this, it's my asset, it's my property, you're happy. These are the ni'mahs of the world. Value and appreciation of the assets of the world. If Allah gives you the blessing of the hereafter, salah. How great is salah? I've told you that, isn't it? The reward, isn't it? So how do we treat the ni'mahs of the hereafter? The subject's coming now. How do we look after them? I've just prayed salah. That's it. So which verse? What did you recite in salah? How did you recite it? What did you recite? What were your actions? So many actions in salah, subhanAllah. And every action, do you know that at the time of salah, where are we? We are not here, we're stood in front of Allah. It's salah time, remember this. Why? Because there's any Allahu Akbar, I have put everything away from me. I've left everything, I'm leaving the dunya. And I fold my hands and I become a human being and stand. Where are we stood in front of? Everything we've rejected in the dunya, who are we stood in front of? our Rabb, our Lord. So when you stood in front of your Lord, what does Allah Ta'ala say? So many actions Allah has given in Salam. Allah Ta'ala likes it so much. Allah says, don't just stand there, all going. Then stand on bowing and prostrating in different positions of Salah. Allah says, I love this action of Salah. So many actions give. Sometimes your face is there, sometimes you're down, sometimes your hands are folded. Then you go into prostration, then you sit in between prostration, then prostrate again, then you stand, then you sit, then durood, then Salam, then this verse and this Quran, and then you praise Allah, then you glorify Allah. What is all this? What is all of this? This is Salah. Say Subhanallah. Who has given us this? Allah has given us this. And who gave us the tawfiq ability? Allah gave me the ability, you the ability. What's the blessing of this? These are the blessings of the Akhirah. And the blessings of the Akhirah, you cannot count them. They are infinite. The ni'mas of this world will go into the soil, into the earth, and the ni'mas of the Akhirah will float in the heavens, ongoing forever. Salah that will pray, immediately you will depart from here, your salah. And this salah will go to where? Say Subhanallah. This salah will go to where? It won't stay here. This car, if you buy, where will it go? Go into a garage, workshop, puncture, repair workshop. But salah, as soon as you're free, salah doesn't stay here. It doesn't stay in the world. It departs. It doesn't stay in the world. Doesn't stay on earth. Soon as you're free from salah, you break the salah, finish the salah. Where salah go? It goes to the heavens. It goes high up to the heavens. Salah is such a thing, it doesn't stop. And it goes up to the court of Allah and it presents itself in the court of Allah. And in the hereafter, it keeps on accumulating. In the hereafter, salah will come. That salah will come back. In Jannah, Jannah will be decorated with your salahs. Great asset is salah. Remember this. Great property, salah. Every amal action has a form, has an image. Salah has an image. Every good righteous deed, fasting has an image. And dhikr has an image. Quran recitation has an image. They have forms and pictures and appearances. And they come with an appearance. And they are present there. In each one of them has their separate form. So for example, when we recite, when we say things in dhikr, then, for example, science has even proven that when you say words, when you speak and you're on the phone and things are recorded or written, so same way, your ibadah, righteous deeds, they don't evaporate. You pray salah, it's in existence after that. Your amal is gone, your good deed has been created and it has a beautiful form and image. So what do we need to see now? Pay attention to this point I'm saying. That salah you prayed, that's it. We just keep coming to pray and then we disappear. We just come, I prayed, I finished. Have you prayed salah? Yeah, I prayed salah. Yes, and some people, they don't even know what they're praying. That's it. Yet they only pray half. They don't pray everyone. Then after salah, there's no dua, no tasbih, and the hukam of sajda, that's it. I'll just pray salah, the minimum. Minimum, that's acceptable. Okay, that's fine. Yes, in Punjabi we say that it's just gone off the top of my head. Yes, so we just sort of want to get rid of that action, be gone with it. Hajj I've done, yes I've done it. Yes I've done Hajj, I wasn't worried about the intensity or what was the content, etc. This is the point. Is this our ibadah? No. How we need to think is that number one, that all the ni'mas of the world, this salah is the greatest ni'mah that Allah Ta'ala sent me to His home, the masjid. Otherwise, where was I? That what about those who can't even come? Who don't come? Someone's doing this shop, enjoying himself, somebody else. Allah, you're such a great asan and favor on me. After today, whatever salah you send me to until Qiyamah, that time will not come back again. This time will not be able to come back to me in my life. Will that salah come again? No. It's gone. Qadha you can pray, yes. But it's gone. Finished until Qiyamah, that time will not come back return. Such a great ni'mah, that ni'mah cannot come back to you in your life again. That fajr you left, it's gone. It's disappeared. Tell me. You can regret, you can beat your heads who today left fajr salah in the morning today. That time, that fajr will not come back again. It's gone. It's evaporated. Disappeared. What a big loss. Those people whose salah they don't pray. That action, look, a car, you have an accident, what do? Oh, it's no problem, I'll get another car. You say this, don't you? Oh, something's gone and I'll get another thing. But somebody tell me to give me the guarantee now that it will come back again. No, there's no guarantee you can get anywhere. The salah that's gone, it's gone. It will not come back. It's disappeared. How many salahs does a person waste, tell me? Such a ni'mah that will never return. It will never come back. That ni'mat, we come, Allah Ta'ala seats us down in His home, we fulfilled that deed, we did not think that such a great ni'mah Allah Ta'ala is giving to us. So now, we haven't even thought that this action, that this salah I've just prayed, it's not just going to stay here, we have to send it forward. And where will it go? It will go in front of our Rabb Allah. Astaghfirullah. That such a salah will send to Allah. How will my salah reach to Allah? In which state will it arrive? Which condition? And remember this, this is not unlimited, these salahs. No, no, no. This is in your destiny, that how much salah he will pray, he will not be able to pray one more salah than that. Has it ever happened that a person goes, he prays Isha, and then before Fajr he dies, after Dhuhr he goes, and he doesn't come back to Maghrib. He goes to Maghrib, he doesn't come to Asr, for example. It's his final salah. And he doesn't know. He's not going to return. It's not the case that you pray unlimited salahs. No, it's counted, stamped and sealed. These are the number of salahs in your life, whether you pray or not. But this is in your destiny. This is how much salah you will pray. So at least complete the amount that Allah Ta'ala has put into your qismat, as long as you're alive. And if you run, so, oh, just prayed salah, that's it, I've completed salah, prayed it quickly. No, there are two factors of salah. Remember, there are two factors for all good deeds. Remember this. One is for an amal, for a deed, to make it an amal. One is the ahkam, the orders of sharia for that action. Any action, any righteous deed that we perform according to the sharia. Yes, that's factor number one. That action that you do according to the sharia is a blessed action, like salah. Give the example of salah, all the other deeds are the same as well. That for example, if salah, if sharia orders, if you pray salah according to the sharia and you complete it, then it's a blessed and respected deed, and it's then classified as salah that you've prayed. It's got its time, it's the manner of praying, the procedure, and bow like this, pray this many rakahs, do these actions, read durood at this time. The procedure, if you pray away from the procedure, then it's away from sharia. If you're sitting down and reading something else, stood and reading something else, you're praying the verses that you pray in salah, but you're doing back to front, in different order and at the wrong time, will your salah be complete? No. So it's not then classified. For example, four rakah, and you recited those verses and you recited that Quran, but why isn't it accepted? Because it's not according to the sharia that you performed that amal. So that deed will be a good deed which you implement according to sharia. That deed, if the sharia orders that do it this way, then that's according to the sharia. That's classified as sharia. That's mu'tabar and respected and honorable. That's an honorable deed. So factor number one, the salah I'm praying, the amal I'm doing, is it in accordance with the sharia? Yes? Do you understand that? Is it against the sharia, my deed? No. Then it's honorable, respected and classified as a good deed. Second factor, when you do a good deed, is that I've come and I've prayed, I want to present my salah. Okay, one thing is doing, praying salah. But that salah that will go to the court of Allah, that will give us a reward in the akhirah, which will become classified as husn, the good salah, beautiful salah. Yes, decorated salah. How? How do we achieve that? Remember I said to you, every deed has a form, image, and it will become beautiful and presented to Allah, because Allah will give that deed back to you. Yes, do we try to attain that level? So here's the point that we need to be careful about and be worried about. Otherwise we'll regret in the hereafter. We will regret immensely in the hereafter. So first is the factor number one. When you do a good deed, it has to be in accordance with the sharia principles and rules. So then it's accepted, but in that you've completed that deed, but then you need to make it beautiful. So it's accepted in the hereafter. And what's the method for doing that? Factor number two, what do you need to do to make your deed beautiful? For every good deed, this is not just salah. What do you need to do to make that deed beautiful and accepted? Has to be in accordance with the sunnah. Say subhanAllah. However much sunnah is in that deed, the more sunnah you instill, and you make it beautiful and decorated with the sunnah actions, and it will become beautiful beyond beautiful, and it will go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that deed. Yes, that's why Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that imitate, that's why Allah ta'ala said that imitate my beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah says, I order you, aqimu salah, pray salah. But who should you imitate? Who do you follow in salah? لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنٌ. Yes, just like he gives to you, take it. Whatever he says to you, leave, leave that. Whatever he says to you, do that. So salah, to make it beautiful, is lazim upon us. that we observe salah according to the sunnah. Pay attention to the sunnah. Where should you put your hands? Where should you put your mind? Where should you put your eyesight and look? How should you get up? How should you fold your hands? And we don't pay attention to any of this. Don't reject the salah. Allah Ta'ala hasn't called us to just bop up and down during salah. Allah has given us a great ni'mah. We just discard it, reject it. That's why the effects of salah don't come into us. The nur of salah doesn't come into us. The effects of salah don't come into us. So what do we need to do? Is that according to the sunnah, we need to make our salah beautiful. And if there's no tariq of the sunnah in our salah, then the salah will be completed. It will be completed. Yeah, muftiyan, etc. say that's the decision. Yes, it's honorable according to the sharia you prayed it, and it's complete, it's jais, permissible. If you haven't prayed against the sunnah, even then the salah, the actions are completed, but it is naqas, the salah. It is defective, your salah. It has defects within it. For example, you've gone to buy some cloth. Yeah? And one cloth is fine and pure good, and one has defects in it. Which one will you buy? Tell me. You'll say that this is also the same company, same brand, same shawl, but this has got stains, and this cut hair is torn hair. Will you buy it? The defects tell you not to buy it. Yes, even if it gets it cheap to you, even then you won't buy it. So your salah will be accepted, but there'll be defects against the sunnah. And the more sunnahs you discard and leave, the more defects there'll be present in your prayer and your salah. Subhanallah. The more stains and blots on your salah. So tell me, what will be the hal? How will that salah be presented in the court of Allah? And how will our salah be accepted? How do you complete salah? This is not the justice. You get up in the morning, you come to Fajr, you've done wudu. After coming, when you pray salah, then that is a wasted salah. So what do we need to do our salah? According to the sunnah, we need to implement and pray and observe salah. Totally according to the sunnah. Make it beautiful. Here and an event I'd like to share with you. There was one individual, one sahib, and he went to his sheikh, his teacher, and took bayah, pledged allegiance. And after taking bayah, his objector of a murid, the student, and the sheikh, the teacher, the connection between the sheikh, the teacher, and the student, the murid, which is the sacred connection till akhirah. Quran says, find a sheikh, find a teacher, do tawbah in the hands of the teacher, do tawbah in the hands of the teacher. Sunnah, great sunnah. Allah says, no, condition, do tawbah in the hands of the teacher. Why? Why is Allah exhorting? Why is Allah telling us to find a teacher? Because he'll be your guide. There's no other reason. Peer, murid, and culture, tradition. No, he's your guide in deen. And if he doesn't have a guide, a teacher, then he'll talk rubbish. What salah? I don't need to know about salah. Don't tell me. He's putting his hands there, up or down. He's not praying. So if you tell him pray salah, he says, oh, go away. Get out of it. Don't tell me to pray salah. I've prayed for Allah. He's gone. In other words, we joke with salah. But the person who is a teacher, Sheikh, I'm telling about his event. Yeah, that you should definitely make a connection with a friend of Allah, Sheikh, a teacher, I'm telling you. Without this, life is incomplete for a human being. I'm telling you, such great names as Ghaus Pak, Abdul Qadir Jalani. Did he not have a Sheikh? Yes, he said, I could not be a Ghaus if I didn't have a Sheikh. Abdul Qadir Jalani, Hazrat Khwaja Muhinuddin Chishti. Did he not have a Sheikh? He said, Sheikh, that's why I became Chishti. Subhanallah. Hazrat Data Ganj Baksh Ajweri, rahmatullahi, what a great sheikh. Hazrat, was he not a sheikh? So are we human beings born from another breed? If they had a need, such great walis of Allah, that they needed guidance of a teacher, of a sheikh, of a guide, and so much barakah and blessings in that, that when you take the guidance of a sheikh, and you'll go to him, make him your friend, you'll have a connection, a friendship, relationship, even if you meet him or not, but his barakat will continue. So many times it's occurred that in the dream, shaitan wants to advise you and misguide you, immediately the sheikh will come into the dream and stop that. What are you about to do? And he stops. This is the connection. Many stories I can share with you. Yes, this is the connection, because according to Allah's hukam, according to the sharia, you're living your life. When you live your life according to the sharia, in the guidance of the sheikh, a person who lives a life without the teaching guidance, he's following his nafs and desires. Yes, that khutubat al-shaytan, he is at the footsteps of shaitan, nobody to stop him. Just like there's a child, you have a child and you're controlling him, looking after him and guiding him. He's afraid, but the other child you don't care about. Who will be the shaitan? The other child. My father doesn't ask me, I can smoke when I want, cigarettes, go out in the night, day. He doesn't ask me, he doesn't care about me. The other child, you stop him. How dare you, 5 p.m. you have to come home and you have to get up at this time, you have to pray salah. What's the difference between the two children? Tell me. Is this not the case? The same way that human being who Allah Ta'ala has given, and that, for example, he is a teacher, he is a guide. Allah sends the sheikh, the teacher, whether woman or man. Woman behind the parda and the man, apparently. It's not just for the men, the hukam for the guide, that in Surah Mumtahana, that order was for the believing women. Allah Ta'ala said, oh my beloved Nabi, women folk will come to you, believing women, give them the pledge of allegiance. And subhanallah, but for example, the woman, she can also have the connection with the teacher. Why shouldn't they get the fares and the blessings of the friends of Allah? So there's a different way. Sharia says, yes, totally. The sheikh won't physically go in front of the teacher, won't sit there face to face. He won't be able to go in front of her in the same room. In the previous generation, it was parda, behind the parda, give the tawbah to the teacher. The peer sahab, they were like this, behind the veil, behind the curtain. Our forefathers, when there wasn't technology, we did this in the Khanqah, there was a parda curtain, the women folk would come on the other side of the curtain, and the sheikh would give the bed to them across the other side of the curtain. But now we have the technology that even on the phone, the woman can take bayah. But for example, all you want your women folk is to make chapatis and food and to eat meat and tender. When they come home, did you not make chaat or fruit chaat? Did you make this food? Did you get the shopping? And all you want to do is send the women folk to the marketplace. So how will they be sat then on the other side of the curtain veil? They're getting ready. I'm going to my sheikh, the husband. And what about me? You stay home. And that poor soul, she sat, and then she should do shaitani actions. Shaitan comes, and there's arguments, quarrels, I'll do this and that. And then there's divorce and quarrels. Abuse. Why? Because you've taken off the track of the deen. If by chance you've got a sheikh, a teacher, what's her fault, the poor soul? You should also say, I'm going to dhikr. You also put dhikr on here, put the receiver on, the phone on, connect, and dhikr will come to you on the site. You can listen online. You will get that fares, the same fares I get you. But no, the wives, you've discarded, rejected. Tomorrow you'll realize when Allah will ask you. Oh, men folk. That you are Chaudhary Sahib, big head, and your woman, your the females in your family, why did you not introduce them to the fairs and the barakah of the sheikh, the teacher? The parda, was there a bigger parda of yours that in the Quran Allah says gave her a hukam in Surah Mumtana? That, oh my beloved Nabi Sam, I will send the women folk to you for guidance. So can the women folk not have the introduction and the connection with the teacher? And whoever comes, the husband is not bringing her. It's rather Allah Ta'ala who is giving fadl and blessings. The thousands of defects will come out of her and she will have dhikr at home. She will also do tasbih. She also will make her sheets, her record system. She'll listen to the phone. She'll have love for the sake of Allah, with the friend of Allah. She will also do dua. But no, no. Some men are very good. They haven't even got married. They say, no, my wife, I need to get my wife introduced to my teacher to get bayah. And some men folk, they got their wives to take bayah before their marriage so that our home can become good. So this, anyway, the discussion goes off a bit. But this all is salah, rectification. These are all things Allah will ask us tomorrow. Our mothers, sisters, we have totally destroyed their lives, kept them detached, not concentrated, not focused, not thought that they should have deen. Allah has given technology. So this majlis is going all over the world. When we stop, 1,000 individuals or peoples are listening to this majlis. All women folk. They are bayah, some are in Africa, from different countries, and they sit. And great maqams, great rank and status they have. Alhamdulillah, great rank and status they've achieved. And you're just sat there, you look at face and leave. Then mashallah, they listen through the audio and they do amal. They practice, no, we only accept that peer who does dua so we can have a child. And he gives a son to us through his dua. If he makes our business run good, then he's a peer. Tell me. These are our conditions. So he, this student, this point's coming back to my mind, that incident. So he was a friend of Allah. He said, okay, I'll go to see my sheikh, my teacher. So he went to that friend of Allah and he took bayah, pledged allegiance, did tawbah. So now is the relationship starting between the sheikh and the student. So this is how tarbiyah occurred. That straight away, the sheikh gives the sheet to the student that please fill in the tracking sheet. How your deeds are performing. So he gets the sheet, the tracking sheet, and if that there's no story of Layla, this and that, how did you pray salah, did you do dhikr or not, did you attend the majlis or not, did you read Quran today, recite Quran today, tell me, and which sin did you commit, and what big tarbiyat, improvement of yours that's taking place, say subhanallah. And those people are serious students, they've got the true guide now, who will guide them. Have they not grabbed, the sheikh has not grabbed him, the women folk, after 40 days, give me the report, oh sister. and what a the connection, that rapport, that shaykh, then he raises his hands for her at tahajjud time. Though Allah, my murid is weak, Allah give your blessings, this woman is not right, this man is not right, the anger is not going, this is not happening, it's not working. So the shaykh does dua, and that dua in absence is accepted. You have no need to make the request. Allah's guaranteed that dua that's made in absence, that if you do dua behind someone's back, Allah says, first and foremost, I accept that dua. And that person who did the dua, I'll accept the duas for him as well. Subhanallah. Say Subhanallah. So should we not bring our women folk towards this path as well? What are you afraid of? Why don't you introduce them? She will lay bare your issue. She says, my husband doesn't pray. When their bow sheets come, then she becomes a person praying tahajjud, then he stays an empty box and he keeps on going up and down. He's afraid, would my wife complain about me? But the case is this, that everybody has their own individual sheets and nobody looks at anyone else's sheets, in their phones or on their own devices. So will we do this action or not? Tell me, no, we can't do it. Astaghfirullah. No, we'll just make our wife make food and chapati. And look, make meat, korma today. Lot of spices, okay? If you don't put spice in, I won't eat that food and nonsense and rubbish we talk to our wives. No. Evening time, beautiful hadith. That what a great relationship. The pair, the wife is sleeping, the husband wakes up in the morning. He throws the specks of water. Quickly get up. Fajr time. The husband's sleeping, wife wakes him up. And such a pairing, husband and wife, both of them will go into Jannah, into paradise. Subhanallah. And all day long, the rahmas and the mercies will descend upon them. But subhanallah, we wake in the morning, beating slippers. Your mum's this, your dad's this, your father was this before. Shaitan's in the house. And she's swearing at the father, fighting, crying, your father's like this, your sister's like this, she's horrible. Astaghfirullah, Rabbi min kulli dhanbin wa atubu ilayh. Tell me. So our homes, we've destroyed ourselves. Put shaitan into our homes ourselves. Put pillars of shaitan in our homes ourselves. So when he went to his sheikh, the student, he said, Hazrat, can you do tarbiyah, give islah to me, improve me? And the biggest islah is salah. Tell me, subhanallah. So khushu, khudu, concentration, focus, when we have majlis, what else is there? Everything is present here that we can take away, nothing else. So today, see what great words we're speaking about salah today. So now, the Shaykh taught his student salah. He had khushu, focus, beauty in his salah, focus, attention, concentration, because Hazrat taught him the sunnah. The sunnah, the lover of the sunnah, who is the Shaykh, then he makes his murids lover of the sunnah as well. Yes, has the kitab not come to you now? The sunnah ways, have you received that book? Now read it. That I wrote that book for you people. I wrote that book for my students, for my murids. It's not a business, I did it for a business idea. He said, sold out. It's sold out now, he said to me. 800 books. I said that my colleagues, have they received the book? He said, they received it. I said, fine, then close it then. That's it. I don't need to sell it to the public. Yes? That the responsibility is given to me. I'm looking at those people. Yes, with their barakah, their blessings. If somebody else gets it, that's fine. That's fine. That the amount we had, we printed them, we've given them out. What does this mean? That tomorrow when I pass away, then you'll do dua for me at least, won't you? Yes, that if I'm getting the punishments, may Allah Ta'ala not allow that to happen, but if I get punishments, at least you'll do dua for me, because I'm broken down and I need your duas, I'm desperate for your duas, you'll do dua for me, but at least read the kitab, and then you'll see salah, open that chapter, all the hadith, beautiful hadith will come in front of you about salah, that this is what I've come to teach you. Such a beautiful salah of yours I'll make, that when the hoor will come in front of you, say, Subhanallah, Hazrat Sahib, where are you? The reward for my salah is sadu, so great. Where are you, Hazrat Sahib? Such beautiful salahs of ours have become beautiful, decorated with noor. Say, Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So now, the student, his salah became good. He realized that my salah has become excellent. One night he stood in salah, the student. And murid sahab, this is the murid, you know, the student, and Shaykh instructs, gives him the prescription, he does the amal, he prays salah after salah, he said, Subhan, my salah today is so great, tasbihat and enjoyment, I did all actions according to the sunnah. Now, hey, it's not necessary that you feel that satisfaction, not necessary. No, sorry, don't go on feelings, you go on the physical action according to the sunnah, that's good. Yes, so he then did an action. He was a man of wisdom. He said, Allah, that yes, this is good, the situation I'm in now. That I prayed salah according to sunnah, became beautiful. Now what I desire, Allah, is that you show me how beautiful is my salah. Allahu Akbar. His shaykh told him that whatever dua you do, Allah will accept. Whatever dua you make, Allah will accept. He said, Allah, today my salah, please show me the form of my salah. How beautiful it's become, my salah that I've prayed. How beautiful is it? How excellent is it looking? He did this while he went to sleep. So then, whilst he was sleeping, he saw beautiful, jameel female. Subhanallah. Say Subhanallah. Beautiful, jameel, long hair and beautiful looks and adornment. And Subhanallah, if I am a shahir, I could make a ghazal on that. I'm a shahir, a poet. So you could say the beauty, the adornment, and the color and complexion, beautiful, no defect at all. He said, oh, this is my salah. This is what I will attain. Subhanallah, Subhanallah, he's saying. And then he went further. And he saw further, and he saw very beautiful eyes, but no light in them. The defect came. So he went quiet. What's happened here? Such a beautiful eyes beautiful, but he saw, could not see. So his eyes opened suddenly. Morning time, he went to his sheikh, he presented himself. He said, Hazrat Sahib, he shared the whole waqia, salah, just like you said, Hazrat, I prayed, then in the dream I saw this. And he was a camel sheikh, completely. He said, what is it you saw? He said, beautiful female, but there was no lights in her eyes for her to see. He said, So do you pray your salah according to sunnah? He said, yes, totally. He said, did you pray salah? Were your eyes closed or open at that time? Say Subhanallah. Sheikh took hold of him, his action. He said, my eyes, I close them, I feel concentration. Remember that khushu khudu, when a person runs after focus, concentration, don't run out of focus, concentration. You have to ask yourself, is it in accordance to the sunnah what I'm doing? Shaitan tricks a person, deceives a person. Remember this. Yes, he tricks you, deceives you. Shall I tell you another story in between? Just in between? Yes, but remember this, don't forget this. The another action that will come in handy for you. There was a sheikh, and I can't remember his name now. And he was a great sheikh, great teacher. And he had a murid, a student. And he had a good company, good relationship. And the sheikh gave permission to his student. He gave mijaza, permission to teach, go and do the work of the deen. When a student's given the work, deputation, do that, the amount you've been told. Not more than that. Remember this. For example, if somebody's being told, the sheikh instructs, that Allah Ta'ala, when he gives you the manzil, destination, responsibility, for example, responsibility doesn't mean then that you go beyond that, you become a peer, a sheikh, a teacher. No, he's giving you responsibility. For example, if I say to you that from tomorrow you make my tea, from tomorrow you bring this to me, or you do this for me, or somebody gets a responsibility, alhamdulillah, then he should fulfill that responsibility. If it starts to pinch your heart, then leave that. If it's too hard for you, don't force yourself. If you do it with love, then complete it. My sheikh's work, I should do it for him. I'm fortunate, so lucky he's given me this opportunity, you get promotion. Those in the heart is pinching, oh, it's too hard, it's difficult. No. Allah Ta'ala tests a person. Remember, this is your tarbiyah that's occurring this moment in time. So when somebody gets a responsibility, you should do this work, then just do that much that he has said to you, told you to do. You have to do this, do maraqabah, do this much. What do? They take shortcuts in between. Oh, okay, Hazrat Sahib does this as well, I'll do that as well. And then he's lost out, that person. He's lost out. Then everything he's doing is going to waste. So he was also like that poor soul. He was given responsibility by the teacher. And he fell into the trap of nafs. Because nafs and shaitan will never leave you till the grave, until death. That's why my Hazrat Sahib said, my teacher, until the grave you are in need of your teacher, the sheikh. Doesn't matter how high you're in status, don't leave your teacher, otherwise you'll go off track. Yes, do as much as your sheikh tells you, not more than that, otherwise you'll go off track. What doesn't matter what maqam you attain, then you're gone. Because if you go into the hands of shaitan, hands of nafs, you are gone. End of game. Game over. So that student, he went off track a bit, he left his responsibility. What Sheikh explained to him, prescribed, he didn't do that in the same way. And then he stopped coming, he became a peer himself. Thought he was a teacher until such long, then he disappeared. He stopped meeting his teacher, no coming to the gathering. So Hazrat Sahib, the teacher, said that man, he was a good person, where's he gone? At least go and look after him. See, he said to a marid, that go and find out about him, that at least call out to him, ask him, where is he? And so he went to him, he said, Hazrat, to the student, that you're not coming anymore. Hazrat Sahib's remembering you. He said, I'm very busy now, occupied, I've got murid, students. That is his fares, his blessings, but I've achieved the status now. Shaitan tricks him. He doesn't accept fares of his teacher. People are coming to him, accepting him, giving him titles. Anyway, he said, doesn't matter, I don't need to go anywhere. Allah's given me a maqam status, I've achieved myself now. He said, what have you got? He said, in the night, alhamdulillah, as soon as I close my eyes, angels come.
and they take me, alhamdulillah, for a journey in Jannah. He says, is it? The person who came to look for him. And he said, yes, tell Hazrat that I've reached this status now in the night. I wander around in Jannah. It's all your affairs, Hazrat, but I don't need to come anymore. So he went back to the teacher, Hazrat. This is what he said. That he says, I spend my nights in Jannah, paradise, I see this and that, and people are coming to me, they give me acclaim and titles and respect. He said, okay, today when you go to Jannah, tell him that three times recite La Hawl. Yeah, three times that recite that, and then tell me how you feel at that time. He said, okay. He said, Hazrat, he went back to him, the student, the message the teacher's given, today when you go into paradise, then three times recite this. And then tell us how you feel after that. Soon as he went into Jannah, then when he recited La Hawl, then this was the connection of his teacher. Immediately his eyes opened. When he opened, he dropped. And he fell into the heap of rubbish and dirt where people throw their stool and waste. And he said, oh, what's happened here in the morning? He said, what's this game? Where's Jannah gone? Whisper, he understood it was the nafs that deceived me. He was ashamed. He cried, ran back to his teacher. He sought forgiveness. What's the point? What's the issue? He said, this has happened, my teacher. He said, foolish student, that the nafs and shaitan caught you, trapped you, deceived you. That shaitan would come to you every day and he became an angel. And that Jannah, that was his Jannah that he made. And he presented it to you. Shaitan, nothing's minor for him. He can do things within minutes and trick you. And that was his Jannah. And he did this just for one reason, because he wanted to combine with your nafs, that the sohbat of your teacher, your connection with your teacher, he wanted to cut that, because that's the route to success. So he cut that. So today, if I didn't tell you this today, then forget Jannah. Jahannam, the doors would have been open, just like you fell onto that mound of rubbish. So that's the same situation. That example. So never do an action, an individual, a student. This is the connection with the Shaykh. Rabta Shaykh. Nafs and Shaytan will take you away from that, but you should strengthen it. That's why I stated that you should maintain and strengthen the relationship with the teacher. So we come back to the original event, that example, that story. So Hazrat Sahab said to him, that you, my student, the salat that you prayed, how did you pray? He said, I closed my eyes and prayed, Hazrat, because I feel focus and concentration. But Shaykh said that you followed your ways. But what was the sunnah? Sunnah says that keep your eyes open when you're praying. Don't close the eyes. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this is his sunnah. So he took enjoyment, focus. His Shaykh said, don't close your eyes. According to the sunnah, pray your salat. So nafs took him, that person, and took him in such a way that his salat, he came to that position. He couldn't see. So one naqs, one defect in salah, the salah, then look at the rest of the salah, and what condition it came to, that one naqs, one defect arose. So all the amal salihat that we practice, dhikr, talawat, reciting Quran, keeping fast, going on hajj, going on umrah, all these righteous deeds Allah has given us ni'mas, that these are in accordance to the sunnah. Yes, this is the fikr and concern that I'd like to generate in you today. Develop. The whatever amal you do, whatever good deed you do, accordance to Sharia and Sunnah, it should be both. Sharia means what? That action, that the physically it should match with, it should be in compliance with the Sharia. Sharia says recite Quran, fine. Sharia says you should keep the fast. Sharia, according to the action, keep a fast like this, do hajj like this, pray salah like this. According to the Sharia, factor number one, and factor number two, is that we need to make that beautiful. We need to decorate that deed. And it has to be in accordance with the sunnah. In accordance with the sunnah. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the ability to practice all deeds like this. Not that I've just done it and that's it, it's finished. I've come on hajj. I've completed hajj. I've prayed salah. I've kept the fast. No. We have to see that how many sunnahs have I left and discarded and rejected in this deed. How do I complete this deed? Wake up in the morning. That's why that kitab is for that reason. Sunnah ways. Read it. I'm going to pray salah. What do I need to do before that? That when you practice 3 days, it will become your habit. Alhamdulillah. I've prayed salah. In salah, which dua do I recite? After salah, which dua should I recite? After salah, what should I do? And how should I sit after salah? All actions how Rasulullah ﷺ would prescribe to us in accordance with every woman and man. Do it, inshaAllah. In this dunya, you'll see that your salah will be beautiful and decorated, and you'll feel the enjoyment of that. Every deed, you'll feel the enjoyment and the taste. Whatever good deed you'll do, if you do in accordance to the sunnah, you'll see its result. Look, Nabi al-Karim prays salah, he'd come to the masjid. What did he do? Regularly, he would have Imam al-Sharif most regularly, the blessed turban, most regularly. Very few times, he didn't.
Yes, that you cannot see a hadith that without imama, blessed turban, without the cap, that the Prophet ﷺ prayed salah. No, no, no. There's no hadith, the respected scholar said, where he prayed beheaded. This was the example of the noble companions and the awliya ikram, the walis of Allah, do the same. So what about us? Why don't we do this? No, it's sunnah, we can leave it. Me and you say this, that the deed will be accepted, but the husn beauty will not come into that deed. That big husn, you are devoid of that. And on top of that, the husn will come if you practice it. If you pray or do deeds good in sunnah, husn will come, the beauty will come, definitely, automatically. But also three things will get on top of that. Number one, remember that thawab, that the thawab will reach to the heights. Thawab will multiply to the heights. Number two, bonus. Man habba sunnati fa man habani. Allah said that when you do this deed according to my sunnah, I love you, Rasulullah said. Third thing, bonus. Qul in kuntum tuhibbuna la fattabiuni habibkumullah. Subhanallah. The Allah says, you imitated my Habib, Allah is announcing. You copied, imitated my beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I make you now my beloved, Allah says. Subhanallah. What benefits on one action, tell me. One action. Number one, beautiful deed becomes accepted. Number two, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's love. Number three, Allah says, I've made you my beloved. Then tell me, what has that human being become then? What does that human become? Awliya Allah, the walis of Allah they've become. Now this is not this, I'm not wali of Allah. However he's doing this, the Quran is saying that you are the wali of Allah. And the wali of Allah isn't just they will get cars and angels will descend and there will be horns on his head. No, walis are like this, normal human beings. However much walayat you want to see someone as a strong wali Allah, how strong are his deeds in accordance to the sunnah? If you want to measure a person, you don't need people to acclaim him, just wait for their death. And walaya, a person will wake up as the wali Allah. He is the wali. What else is the wali? Yes, Allah Ta'ala says, I keep the friends like this who have people with iman and their deeds, they are my walis. They are my friends. Every insan becomes a wali at that time. So if Allah Ta'ala makes somebody a parent, Allah Ta'ala takes the work of the deen from somebody, Allah shows karamat and miracles. But not this, that those people of karamat, that they are the walis of Allah. It's not that only those who do tabligh and the work of the deen, that they're the walis of Allah. Or those who have got marids and students, they're the walis of Allah. This is not the case at all. Rather, there are people who are hidden, concealed, they are higher in grade as walis of Allah. And I've seen them. I've seen them. That those people are running the khankas, doing work with the deen, who have murids and the system of Allah, there are many other walis present, higher grade than them. There are walis higher grade than them present, living. And you can't even arrive to their rank and status, but Allah Ta'ala has not made them visible and apparent. Allah has not shown them in the world. Allah says that I have no need to make them zahir. That I know, he says, I need no acclaim and recognition in the world. I don't need murids and bayah, do this, do that. I have no need for getting stuck in these things. I have attained Allah, and Allah Ta'ala has given me his friendship. So don't run after this game. I am not a wali yet. I'm not recognized. You became a wali at that time. When you took bayah at the hand of a wali Allah, you became a wali that day. Aswab Allah, the journey for you, the journey of walayat started that day. That moment when you arrive to the company of Wali Allah, you took his hand with this niyyah, you want to be rectified, you want to become a friend of Allah, aswab Allah, immediately you get the rank of Wali Allah. Every woman, every man, the journey starts then. Now it's your job to make the beauty and the decoration of the beauty on your status and go high on the journey. You've got the done the deed, you're Wali Allah, now difficulties come, problems, shops not running, sickness, illness, not get married, etc., etc. That's your problem. That's not related to walayat, Allah says. These are worries and problems of the dunya. They come and go to make you high in status. They should be grateful for me. Sabr, cry, laugh. Always keep on remembering Allah. If you become sick or distressed or down or up or an accident, any problems in the world have no relationship with you being a wali Allah. You've attained the walayat when you took the bayah in the hand of the wali Allah. Say subhanallah. Come, let's do dhikr of Allah now for a little while. And the words we discussed today are very beneficial. May Allah Ta'ala give me as well and all of you the tawfiq ability that we can do amal and practice on this. Ameen.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wassalamu ala sayyidil mursalin. Shafi'il muslimin. Taha wa yasin. Al-Habibul Amin. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina maulana Muhammadin nabiyil ummi wa azwajihi ummahatil mu'minin wa zurriyyatihi wa ahli baitihi kama sallaita ala ibrahim wa innaka hamidum majid. وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا كثيرا كثيرا. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا وهزلنا وجدنا وخطبنا وأمدنا كل ذلك عندنا. اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الميزان. وادخلنا جنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان وأجرنا يوم القيامة مع الإمام. اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. اللهم استقبلنا بسنته ونفعنا بمحبته واشرنا في زمرته يا كريم. اللهم اعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك يا قاضي الحاجات اقض حاجاتنا يا دافي البلايات ادفع بلاياتنا يا شافي الأمراض اشف مرازنا يا شافي الأمراض اشف مرازنا يا شافي الأمراض اشف مرازنا. اللهم أعنا على غمرات الموت وسكرات الموت. اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا. اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا. اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا. ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة اعين واجعلنا للمتقين اماما. اللهم ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا واستاذينا ومشايخنا وجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات. الله ياهو منهم والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه نور عرشه زينة فرشه وآله وصحابه وأزواجه وذرياته وآل بيته أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. آمين.